So we left, again, just to tell you where we are preparing for meditation. We are learning how to prepare for meditation. So we're in the part where you visualize the people who can protect you and the things that can protect you in your life. And we just got to the part where you are sitting in front of several zillion people. You're at the vanguard of them, and you are leading them in asking for protection. Okay. Everybody needs help. Everybody in the world. I was listening to. I was trying to choose music for the yoga class today, and so there's this Beatles song, old Beatles song, antique Beatles song called "Help." And no, it's "Help." I need somebody help. And then when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. You know, like, I was very independent, and now I need help. So I think everyone reaches that point in their life. They realize they need some kind of help. So then people around you need help also, everybody. Even the people that look very powerful and, you know, like Romney or, I don't know, those kind of guys. They also need protection, and they need help. And sooner or later, everybody needs help. So then, if you study this path, then you're in a position to give people help and share with them something that can protect them. And again, it's just understanding that things are coming from you, right? And then maybe they won't yell back at the boss, okay? And that's protection. So well, that's where we left you. You were leading all living beings in the act of protection. Semchen tamcheki kyan kemdo chepa samgu. And then everyone behind you also seeks protection. Deang tsong dun tabur kyamdo shikor telne sung kyan. Normally, when you take refuge in a tsok dun means when you recite the refuge prayers together in a tsok. In a large gathering of monks, kyamdo shikor telne, then you would do four combinations of the refuge prayer. Sungkyang, but lamrim chimi kyongkap, but when you are meditating in the lamrim teachings and you are doing it mentally, mikpa charde ke, it would be easier if you Ririne Chang Sok. So you would, instead of just saying four, instead of combining all four refuges at the same time, who are the four? Sangye. I used to debate with Rinpoche. It was one of the only arguments we ever had. How many jewels are there? Three, but your teacher also, right? I never understood why there were only three. Then he'd say, obviously, your teacher is the other three, or something like that. But so in this particular visualization, you would pause on each one of the objects of refuge and take some time with them before you meditate. How to do that? Just very briefly, in the teachings on refuge, which someday we should do, it's a different text, it's Perfection of Wisdom. Someday we should go through that text, but it's very, very beautiful. And they say there's, when they talk about the three jewels, they say there's the apparent three jewels, and then there's the real three jewels. So we'll be talking more about that. But Buddha Dharma Sangha, the apparent Buddha is all the statues of Buddha and the pictures of Buddha. I think you could even say the historical Buddha's form. Those are Buddha, but they are not protection. And then the Dharma is, so what's the real Buddha? Is very interesting. The Buddha that can protect you is your own emptiness. Okay? The Buddha which is part of you already. Okay? So everyone has a little bit of Buddha in them already. Okay, there's nothing about your body which is enlightened. It will fall apart in time. So there's nothing enlightened about your body. And your mind, most of our minds are pretty confused and full of negativity and things like that. There's nothing enlightened about your mind yet. But they have the potential to become enlightened. So body and mind have the potential to change. Why? Because they're coming from you, okay? If they were not, if they existed out there, that would be a problem because you can't change them. But if they are coming from the seeds that you make by how you act to other people, then you have a chance. So that fact, which is the emptiness of your body and your mind, is already enlightened. You are already, that's your Sugata Garbha. That's your Buddha nature. Okay. There's a part about you which will not change between now and enlightenment. And that's the fact that you're not coming from anywhere but your own seeds. And that part of you is already enlightened. It's already a Buddha. Okay. And that's what you take refuge in. That's the Buddha jewel. And that's the only thing. So you're not taking refuge in a picture or a statue or even in a historical Buddha, the form of the historical Buddha. You are taking refuge in the fact that you have the Buddha. You have the capacity to become enlightened. It's built into you, hardwired into your body and mind. And you couldn't get rid of it if you wanted to. Okay, that's refuge. That's what you go for refuge to. When you think of the Buddha and you want protection from the Buddha, you have to think Buddha's mind and Buddha's body came from seeds that they planted and not from anywhere else. And I also have that. I already have that. I also only come from my seeds and not from anywhere else. Okay, like that. So that when you take refuge, it's sort of beautiful. You're not asking the Buddha, oh, please help me. You know, you are thinking, I can become enlightened. I have it already in me. It's part of me. It's already part of me. And you take refuge in that. And you take refuge in the emptiness of the Buddha, which you already have. Okay, that's cool. So really the Buddha jewel is not a person. It's the condition of them, that they don't come from nowhere. They come from how they treat other people. Okay? That's the protection. That you can't say, please help me, and they can help you. They can't. Because they can't save you from your own karma. Right? If they could, then we wouldn't be here in this way. Okay? So, that's a little delicate. Then when you take protection in the Dharma, the Dharma is the books and the information and the ideas. That's the Dharma. That's the apparent Dharma. But the Dharma jewel is the understanding of emptiness, and that's all. In a person's mind, direct perception of emptiness in a person's mind is the Dharma jewel. That you, when you go for refuge, you're not saying, oh, I hope the books can help me. You're saying there's one idea in some people's minds. If I had that, I wouldn't suffer. And it's just an idea or a perception in people's minds. Aryas, people who've seen emptiness, okay? That's the second jewel of the three jewels. Third jewel is Sangha. You know, the apparent Sangha is what? Everybody who's ordained is apparent Sangha. The real Sangha is anyone who has seen emptiness directly. Ordained or not, male or female, doesn't matter. Okay, so all three jewels are only emptiness or the perception of emptiness. It's very interesting. They all have to do with the pen. All three jewels are the pen. Okay, like that. So anyway, he's saying pause on each one of the jewels and think about who they are, okay, who they really are at this point. So when you're doing Lama Sangye Lakyabsu Chiyo, Chöla Kyabsu Chiyo, Genen Lakyabsu Chiyo, I take refuge to them. While you're doing that, you can focus on each one like that. when you say I go for lama, I go for refuge to my lama. So in this section of the text, he's quoting a text. He's quoting a text you can use before your meditation called Jorje Kelsang Dingyen. We talked about it yesterday. It was written by Pobongkar Rinpoche's teacher. So he'll be quoting it. And he'll be saying, when you say that line, you should think this. When you say that line, you should think this. Okay? So now he's saying here, when you say, I go for refuge to my lama, you should think about the five groups of lamas. Who are the five groups of lamas? In the middle, Lord Buddha. On the left, Manjushri, with all the lamas of that emptiness lineage. And then on the right, Maitreya, with all the lamas of the... You can think Master Shantideva. You can think exchanging myself with other people, compassion teachings. I always make it easy. Master Shantideva's ideas are over here, you know. Aryanagarjuna's emptiness stuff, Tsongkhapa's emptiness stuff's all over there. You know, behind this, yeah, all the tantric teachings. Basically what? You are the last person on earth who didn't get enlightened yet. Everyone, it's a huge plot. It's Truman's World. You know, we saw that movie. It was weird. We saw that movie. We were all like in New York. We were all like, God, you know, that's so cool. And then we walked home to 6th Street, to the temple at 6th Street. And somebody from like 7 or 8 stories up dropped an egg. And it hit me right here. And I thought I was a brick. Like I felt that it just knocked me down. And it was going like 100 miles an hour or something. And it was so weird, you know, it's like, did you get it? You know? So anyway, no, I didn't get it. Anyway, so that's the basic tantra. That's all you need to... And then in front of you, who? Your lama in their current form. Okay, in their current form. Okay, so when you take... Pause on those five. Namadeng Lekepsa Dorshin. Duti Bebjang Che. Say Duti. Bebjang. Duti. Bebjang. So this is going to be a practice that we're going to talk about now for probably a couple of classes. Okay. Duti means amrta. Nectar. Okay. The nectar of... We had three kinds of nectar. What were they? Huh? The nectar of no sickness. The nectar of no death. And the nectar of no... yelling back, misunderstanding, okay? Those three, we had three nectars already, okay? So when you take refuge, when you are preparing for a meditation and you are saying, I need protection, something happens and dutti comes out of the people that you're asking for help. So nectar flows out of them into you, okay? So that's called dutti bebjang. Beb means to fall down, descend. And jang means to purify your heart. So this rain of nectar comes out of the... You say, please protect me, Lama. And then this huge rain of nectar comes out of them into you. So we'll practice it. We'll talk about it, then we'll practice it, okay? It's very beautiful. And it cleans you. It cleans you up, okay? So that's called Dutsi Bebjang. And that goes all the way into Tantra. In the highest tantras, they do this practice. So this is a little bit of tantra that's mixed into the lamu. Deyang Chenkor Chik Tabu Duna. If you recite, if you have your rosary and you are saying, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha, I take refuge in my Lama, right? And then you move a bead. That'd be four prayers and then move a bead, right? So he's assuming you have 100 beads on your... on your rosary. So if you were practicing, we call Trang Sok means, sometimes you say, I'm going to do 100,000 refuge, right? In the Mundo practice, or I'm going to do 50,000, or I'm going to do 2,000, or I'm going to do today, I'm going to do 3 rounds on my rosary, okay? 100 beads. 50 beads should be devoted to cleaning, and 50 beads should be devoted to loading up realizations, okay? Half of the beads are get rid of my bad stuff. Half of the beads are get new things into me, beautiful new things into me. So that's he's saying that. Ngapchi Tsam means about 50 beads. Mitun Chok Jong. Meditate that the nectar from your lama and from the other five lamas, right? Five groups of lamas, that the nectar is cleaning out your negativities, okay, for 50 beads. And then for 50 beads, imagine that their good qualities are filling you up. Okay? So in Tantra and in the Guru Yoga practice, what's called Lama? Ganden Hagyama, right? You see, it's called Mar. Mande Yande. Mar means you clean out down. And we'll do it later, but you imagine all your negativities are coming out of your rear end into the earth in this form of scorpions and snakes and spiders, like evil things, and that there's a huge wolf underneath the ground and he's eating them. And that's the death. And then you imagine that it fills, then new nectar fills you up and it comes out the top of your head and you're all clean and bright. So that's called Yande Mando. Okay. Tambu Ngachu Sam. De Dambo ni Duzikapo Shechewe Nanga Use Dan Chepa Pabne. So I'll say it and then we'll practice it. For the first half, the cleaning process, there's rainbow light coming from your teacher. The five groups of lamas, okay? There's rainbow light coming, five colors. But white is predominant, okay? There's more white than blue, red, green, yellow, okay? There's a lot of white, and that means purifying your negativities. Like if you did some nasty stuff when you were 16 or stuff like that, then you can imagine that the white color is purifying you, okay? Mostly, but all five colors are there. Danchepane rangshen tamcheki lu. It not only enters your body, but whose body? Yeah, you got zillions of people behind you. So everybody's body is being cleaned out. That's a beautiful practice to imagine hundreds or thousands of people, their bodies being cleaned out with this light. Okay? And you're the one who started it. You know, you asked the lamas for light and they sent light. And now it's filling up all of these, it's cleaning out all of these people. Tokmene, so it's not just you, it's everybody else. And it's Tokmene Sakpe Digdip. It's all the bad deeds they've ever collected in their past lives also. It's not just whatever they did in this life. It's everything they ever collected in countless lives. Tokma Mepane means you have been alive forever, okay? You have been alive forever. You have seen countless galaxies. You've done every terrible thing. You've done almost every good thing. You've been Miss America a zillion times. You've been President of America a billion times. You know, you've done everything, almost. Except for sea emptiness and things like that. All right. So anyway, all of those negativities are being cleaned out. Kepa du lame kula dupa sung chakpa tuk dupa mate nye mugipa la sopa. Then during this process, you have to especially be sensitive to the fact that the rainbow light is clearing out mistakes you made with your teacher, okay? Any mistakes you ever made with your teacher, okay? That those are the most serious negativities, okay? Mm. What are they? Kula dupa means you endangered their health. Okay, like you didn't take care of their health. That's called kula dupa. Sung chakpa means what they asked you to do, you broke that. Chakpa means to break. They asked you to do something and you broke it, or you refused, or you argued with them like that. Tuk dupa means you upset them. They can't really get upset in that sense, right? If they're a good lama. But they can get, what do you call it? Disturbed that you are hurting yourself. You see what I mean? It's not like they're mad at you or something like that, but they are disturbed that their heart is disturbed by the fact that you are hurting yourself. Like a good parent would be, you know, like a mother would be. They're not really angry at their children they're concerned when they're doing something that would hurt them. And then they don't have any peace of mind. They don't sleep well because they're worried about you. Okay, like that. So things that you've done. Nyima Gipa means you said something negative to them. You said something... Nyima means either verbally or mentally. You thought something bad about them. You thought something impure about them. Like that. Or you said something impure. Kibala Sopa, etc. Dona Lamala Tembe Digdib Tamje. So all of the negativities, all the mistakes you've ever made towards your teacher. Duku Dangsulku number Chirtun. Duku Dangsulku means they come out in the form of like black smoke or coal, some kind of really evil black stuff coming out of you. In some traditions, it comes out of your bottom of your body. Okay, and then you have to think, the rainbow light has come, it has cleaned you, and then all of this crap is coming out. This bad stuff is coming out. You know, I used to clean the. Rinpoche made me. I was his slave for 25 years, and he used to. People would come to work on the house, like the guy would come to clean the, in New Jersey you have, what do they call those things? Heater. Boiler. It's a boiler. It runs off of this really terrible fuel oil. And everybody has one in the basement, and the fumes come up to the house all winter. It's very cool. And, the first time they cleaned it, he said, you watch the guy, and you steal it. You learn how to clean it. You know, because it cost like $50 for the guy to come, you know. So I sat in the basement with the cleaner guy, and he cleaned out the boiler. And it's really, it's terrible work. It's like all soot, black crap, and everything's covered with it. The guy comes out all covered with it, and his face is all black and covered with soot. And then, then I had to do it for 25 years after that. But then there's this process. You clean, and it gets cleaner and cleaner. And then finally you can just wipe your hand on it, and what they do in the military with a white glove, and there's nothing there. It's totally clean. But it takes a long time, and you have to keep cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. So this is like that. When the nectar comes down through first, there's terrible, terrible deeds come out. Terrible things you said to your lama, things you said about your lama. Terrible, bad stuff comes out. And then you keep cleaning. And then you get down to little things you said, like that, or little things you did. And then finally you know you're clean, okay, like that. Then they mupache. So then you have to think, all the soot is out of me. Then they nipa tuncho gepani. Tuncho gepani, and then after the cleaning is done, they have to fill you up with nice things. Okay, so the rainbow light will come and fill you up with nice things. Tuncho ngoy lame kusung tuki yunden nam. The way, the good qualities of how your lama acts, the good quality of how your lama speaks, and how they think. Okay. Take, be careful who you choose as your lama, right? I'm just teaching you text, right? Your personal teacher, your personal lama, find the one that fits you. And take a lot of time and be careful and choose them wisely. And don't put yourself in a position where later you are trying to deal with stuff that you see in them. You see what I mean? Like, don't be lazy when you choose a teacher and then spend 20 years trying to not dislike them or something like that, or not see them in a bad way or something like that. Like, it would be wiser, I think, to take a long time and find a teacher who you really respect and someone that you think is really a good person, rather than quickly taking a teacher and then struggling with your own heart for a long time about things you see in them that you think you see in them. So be very slow about taking a teacher. And it's like getting married, right? It's more serious than getting married. And it's not wise to get married quickly. You know, like you should take your time and really check the person out. Maybe live with them for a while and see how it goes, you know. See them on a bad day. Rather than putting you and them through the pain of you struggling and doubting them and having problems with them. And, you know, you should think carefully before you take a lover and take a long time. And then there's a part in the Lama Rim, Pabongka Rinpoche says, look, spend a couple of years looking for the perfect Lama. When you don't find them, take the best one you can find, you know? He's like that. He's like pretty practical. And then, but once you take them, then don't have this, what do you call it? You're doubting them and then they have to babysit you all the time. And, you know, choose wisely. Choose with your eyes open. And then commit. And then go for it. And don't sit there and struggle all the time about it. You know what I mean? Like that. Find the best one you can. And then commit. And then deal with it. You know? And don't like, agonize for the rest of your life. You know? Just, again, whatever you see in them is ultimately coming from you. Right? Their qualities will ebb and flow according to your own karma, you know. And if you realize that, then you'll be happy. Okay, it's like you get married. It's the same with your husband or wife. Okay, it's the same thing. You get married; they seem really perfect, and then after a couple of months, you start to see some flaw in them, which tend to escalate. And at that point, you have to grab yourself and say, this is coming from me, you know. Then what do you do about it, you see? So my husband, when I met him, he was so supportive. And now he was so, what do you call that, affectionate. He would hug me every time I came home. Now he doesn't even look up from his computer, you know. Or he puts the newspaper between me and him. During breakfast, the whole breakfast, there's this, I have to read the back of the newspaper, the advertisements, you know, then a Buddhist person thinks, this is coming from me. How can I fix it? I have to be more warm to people. I have to be more warm. A Buddhist person's reaction is not, put the goddamn newspaper down and look at me, you know. A Buddhist person's reaction is I'm not being warm enough to other people. They look immediately to themselves. And then they make a big effort at work or in the grocery store to smile at people. And, you know, do you need to know where the toilet paper is? It's on aisle 4. You know, like, you be more friendly to people. And fix the husband that way. That's a Buddhist. That's how a Buddhist person deals with things, with their husband or with their lama. Okay, I must not. My lama seems a little cold or distant. I should be more warm. You know, that's just a Buddhist person's way of thinking, and it's different from other people. They don't say, "Oh, now my lama's not what I thought they were," and it's the same with your husband or your wife, right? They're not what I thought they were. Now what do I do? And a Buddhist person thinks, whatever you see wrong, then you have to think, well, then I should do the opposite. And rather than being an agonizing process, that's a happy process. That's a fun process. If you have trouble with your husband is not affectionate anymore, then the solution, according to Buddhism, is you be more friendly to people at the market. And that's fun. The solution is always fun. It's not like this, oh, I don't know, the lamas are so, you know, like that. You're thinking, okay, so I have to be more honest, or I have to be more affectionate, and then it's fun. The solution is enjoyable. If it's not enjoyable, then there's a problem. Okay, all right. Let's say Donchepane, but. So when the nectar comes to fill you up with nice qualities, it comes in 5 colors, but the yellow or the gold is predominant. Okay, so for cleaning, the white is predominant. For giving you nice qualities, the gold is predominant, okay? But they're still all five colors. Chepe babne rangshen semjen tamjeki tseran sunam nongtoke yinan chidan kepele lamekusum tuki jinnab topar sam. Then you have to think that you and the other people's life, obstacles to your life, long life and health have been cleared away. Sunam, you have gained new good karma, lots of new good karmas filling you up. Lung toki yenden. Lung means your knowledge of the information. Spiritual information is filling you up. You have all the spiritual information, which doesn't do any good unless you have... What did he say? What was that? Yeah, you have to be practicing it, right? Learn it, practice it, right? On the meditation seat. Right? Do both. So those are filling you up. The ideas are filling you up, and the practical implementation of those ideas is filling you up. You know what it is to be a good person, and you're trying to be a good person. Okay? Sometimes there's a disconnect between those two, you know. I know the 14 ways to become a good person, but I'm a creep. Okay, like that. All right, so that's a little dangerous. And most especially, your lama's qualities are filling up. So let's do one short meditation, and then, what time am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to stop at 10? Let's do one short meditation, then we'll take a little break. Okay. Clean you out, and they fill you up. Okay. And you get from them the nectar. Supposedly makes you act like them, talk like them, and think like them. So if you don't want that, don't make that person your lama. Okay. I think sometimes it's useful to think of it that way. They say that if you take a person as a lama, my friend Art Engel, who translated this, he started to channel his lama. When he teaches, he talks just like Ken Rinpoche. And he grew a mole in the same place where Rinpoche had one. I mean, really. And so I, be careful. All right, yeah.
About the visualization.
Yeah.
When those negative deeds are being removed, you have to know what the ways in which you may have misbehaved towards your lama, like the act of knowing that this is happening, or the things that you had done.
So Tim's question was when the lama is clearing you out of the bad stuff. And maybe you find spiders and roaches and centipedes and all those, they're kind of useful, I think, scorpions. But when they come out, does it have to be things you remember doing towards your lama? I don't think so. And I think if you can just surrender to them and say, clean me. You know, you take Kyuni Lama Kyuni, that prayer we did Friday night, the most famous lines are, and in Tibet, it's a, what do you call it? It's an expression, Kyuni Lama, Kyuni Lama. You know, just do the necessary thing. I don't know anything. Clean me out, you know. I don't remember what I did, and I'm too stupid even to know when I misbehaved to you. So just, can you clean it out, you know. And it's Kyuni Lama, you know, you're the boss. Just take care of it. Okay. I worked for the Library of Congress briefly, and the boss there used to tell me, do the necessary, you know. Anyway, yeah. Did you have a question? Yeah.
Is this meditation, the cleansing is immediate, or you just plant the seeds?
Is the cleansing immediate, or do you plant the seeds? I think it depends on how much faith you have in your lama. I think it could be immediate. I suggest surrender to them. Clean however much you have to clean. And then instead of trying to direct the cleaning, just surrender to the cleaning and feel it, almost feel the nectar, tactile sensation of the nectar. coming down, and just tell them to do it as long as you think it's necessary. And then relax and let them do the cleaning. Okay, like that. Okay. 그것은 특히 저는 대신 두 상기 라캡스치요. Now we go on to, so first you would say, I take refuge in my Lama. And then you'd say, I take refuge in the Buddha. And now the Buddha is going to clean you. Okay, so that's the second one. Shepe kap ngak luki gyudeshi yidam dang. There's a mistake in the Tibetan. It should be yidam ningbo. With no, yeah, Y-I-D-A-M. Then there's a dhamka here. Dhamka means you have a choice in the visualization. When you do the Buddha, you can imagine that a tantric angel is cleaning you, or you can imagine that the co-classic Buddha is cleaning you. Okay, it's up to you. You can do it. If you have an initiation, you can request them in the form of a tantric angel to clean you. Okay? Shepeng Ngakluk means you can do it the tantric way. Gyudeshi means the four classes of tantra. Yidam, you can choose which angel you have the connection to. Or you can go Doluk. Doluk means you can follow the sutra system, the open system. And Chokitruku, which you can see there in Ningbo's gonna. Chokitruku means. Chok means supreme, tuku means emanation, right? Like. They call High Lamas Tukus nowadays, right? So Chokitruku means the classic historical Gautama Buddha shape form. Okay, I like to call it quote classic. Chuki Nambachen Namle Dutsi Bepjanche. Then the same thing, the same nectar comes. Sangye La Tembe Dikpani. Now there starts a kind of a depressing section. If I had written it, I would have put some happier things in there. But he's going to list all the bad things you could do towards the three jewels, okay, and which you should clean. And that's on your homework, okay, just because it's a list and I like lists. There's going to be a list of mistakes you can make towards the three jewels. And then you have to imagine you are cleaning them. They are being cleaned, okay? Number one. Deshin Shekpe Kula Ngensem Gitak Jimba. This is one of the five immediate, these are one of the five most serious bad karmas you can do. And this one is called drawing blood from an enlightened being in malice, okay? In malice. And the in malice is important because if you are Orit and you are taking a blood sample, you are not breaking your vows. You see what I mean? Like, it has to be out of malice. So anyway, that would be the first example. Trying to harm an enlightened being, okay, physically. Number two, Kula Legneki Che Dakpa. Now they're getting into the apparent Buddha, okay? And they're talking about images of the Buddha, statues or paintings or things like that. And then we're not supposed to try, we're not supposed to say, that's it, I like this Tsongkhapa, I like his ears. Or we're not supposed to say his nose is a little big. Or like that. Then you've made some bad karma towards the Buddha jewel. So to judge the quality of representations of an enlightened being is a special bad karma. Okay, to say this is one of those Nepalese tankas, the Buddha's ears are too small, and like that. We'll talk more about it, but to critique images of an enlightened being is a special bad karma. Okay. Kuleng Neki Che Dakpa. Number three, Dhamma Jopa means in Tibet, this doesn't happen so much in America, but in Tibet, an image of a Buddha was one of the only expensive things that a monk would own. So your robes are worth nothing. And, you know, your bowl is wood bowl, it's not worth anything. But you might have a nice Buddha image in your room. So then if you have to borrow money from somebody, you might put it up as a collateral. you might say, you can keep the image if I don't pay you back. And then that's a special bad deed. Okay? So number three is, what do you call that? Using images for collateral. Okay. Pawning. Yeah, pawning.
Yeah.
Pawning images. Like, okay, treating images as financial capital. What do you call that? Capital, right? And but it's not wrong to do that if you have to do it. But to think of them as capital is a mistake. To think that you don't think I have a nice Buddha image on my altar. You think I have about $48 there at the pawn shop. Okay, it's okay to, if you're desperate, it's okay to do something like that. But you shouldn't think of the image as that, as its potential pawning value. Okay, number four, songi duche nyotong chepa. This is interesting. It says nyotong chepa means to buy or sell images. To buy or sell images. But then it says songi duche. Songi duche means with a conception that this is just commodity. This is a commodity. Okay. Why did he add that? It's okay to sell images, and it's okay to buy images. And it's okay to make them for your business, okay? Or books, Dharma books. It's okay to do that, but the duche has to be correct. See, the duche cannot be, how much can we make from this particular book? It should be, we want to help people, we want to spread the Dharma. We have to charge enough to keep the publishing house going, like that. So, but you don't think of the thing as a business. I'm in the business of helping people, and I need to sell the book because I get charged for the paper. Then that's okay. But you're not thinking of it as just as business. Okay, we have a publisher in Latin America who apparently, I don't know them personally. I've met them, but their only interest is how much money they can make or how many books will sell. And it's okay to buy and sell books or images, but it should be with the intention to help people. And it's okay to make a profit and support yourself and keep your publishing house going, but it should be with the intent to help people. And you have to be extremely careful about it. Because I think at the beginning you're always, idealistic? And you start the publishing house, and then after like 10 years, you're like, damn, we're not making enough money. And you know, your mind changes. So you got to be really watchful when you get into the Dharma business, not to make it a business. Okay. All right. Number five. Tukten ngensen di shikpa. Tukten means we had kusung tukten, a foundation for the body, speech, and mind. What's that mean? It's the Tibetan word for an altar, okay? The place where the body, speech, and mind can rest is called an altar. It's the Tibetan word for an altar. Ngan sem gi shikpa means to destroy it out of malice, okay? To destroy a temple or a church or a synagogue or a mosque or an altar out of malice, okay? Why did he say out of malice? Yeah, sometimes you got to move in, or they're building a new mosque in Marseille. They're tearing down the old one. That's okay. You have to tear down the old one. That's okay. It's not ngensem. It's not out of malice. It's so you can build a new one. Okay, like that, right? Sokien, etc. Okay, then there's probably 1,000 more. He gave five. Now he's going to discuss those five. So we'll start the discussion, but then we'll stop. Okay. Te dambo ni le jingki do gyok pang te ku la thak chung ma tabo yin pe rang rer min jung. Technically speaking, the act of drawing blood from a Buddha out of malice must be done towards the historical Buddha. That's just the scriptural description of it. It has to be done towards Gautama Buddha, to do the real one. It should be done towards Shakyamuni Buddha. So we are lucky because we can't do it. Okay, he's gone. All right. So he says, historically, Kleijin, which is Devadatta, this is the half brother of the Buddha who was extremely jealous of the Buddha and constantly trying to hurt him. So one day he tried to assassinate the Buddha. And he made a catapult with a big stone, and he tried to kill the Buddha with it. He waited until the Buddha got to the right place, and then he tried. And it didn't hit the Buddha's body, it just hit his foot. And it caused a small cut on his foot. So technically he broke that vow. He did draw blood from the Buddha, from a Buddha. Tak pande kula tak chuma. Then there's thousands of debates about, you know, can an enlightened being get their foot cut by somebody? I'm not going to go into that. When I teach the Abhidharma, which will take 30 years, we will do that. Okay. Chuma tabu yimpe. Rang rer min jung yang. So we can't do this bad deed. But yang, shen nam jung te. But we can do the other ones. And obviously you could hurt your lama or some other high being. Right? You could draw blood from them out of anger. Okay. Tumatabu yimpe. So that's one of the most serious deeds you can do. Legnyeki che tapani. So now he's on to the second one. What does it mean? What was the second one? Yeah, what do you call it? Critiquing the quality of a Buddha image. Okay. Che tapani kundai soyipla kyuntakpate refers to seeing faults in the, what do you call it? The fashioning of an image of an enlightened being. Did you have a question? Yeah.
So, for example, like that tanka, like now they're selling the tanka with yeah. the wheel of
life, yeah,
right, with the pea and the snake. And
yeah. So, mixed up.
Yeah, mixed up.
He's gonna talk about it. It's coming. Nar Neldra Chembu. There was a great yogi in. He's gonna tell a story about that. There was a great yogi in Tibet. Chola Jamyanka Kushik Siksupu. He showed Atisha, Lord Atisha, an image of Manjushri, right? Siksupu, so you don't say show in Tibetan, you say he offered it to his honorable eyes. So what do you think of this Manjushri? Okay. Di Lekne Junda Lek. Do you think this is a pretty good Manjushri or not? Lekna, if it's good, romba gargewe chimbe ser soshi jine. If it's good, I'm going to use the 4 gold coins I got from this other monk and I'm going to buy it. Okay. Ne lemba la shupe. I'll buy it. I'll get the 4 coins from this monk and I'll buy it. Joel Shelne and Lord Atisha replied, Jetson jambe yangi kula lekpa me, mi lekpa me. It's impossible for Manjushri to have any problems with how he looks. Okay, all right. Manjushri is perfect, physically perfect. Okay, you don't have to worry about it. Me, la sol ni ding. The skill of the artist was only middling. Middling, I mean average. The skill was only average. Okay? You can criticize the artist, but you can't criticize the image. Okay? There was a funny joke between me and Lama Chuki about the skill of the mandala maker, but we'll talk about that some other place. You can criticize the skill of the artist. You can say the artist was not so skilled. And that's a big joke in the monastery. People say, do you like the tanka? The artist is not so skilled. So it's improper to criticize the image itself. It's a bad karma to say the ears are too big. But it's acceptable to say that the artist didn't know what they're doing about the 3 animals in the middle of the wheel of life. So I wouldn't suggest buying it. Because it's true. Okay? Tamajopa, so he's on to the last, to the next two, which are to use it as a collateral and to engage in the business of selling images with the conception that they are only objects of trade. Okay. Nyotsong chepa shindu mangwa tong che Shinto Mangwa means there are lots of people doing that. He said they're just in Tibet. Of course, it was a big, huge business, making images and selling them. It was a huge business, you know. Zemgo, like you go to in Mexico, you go to those. Where was I? I was in Guadalajara, I think, Mexico City. I'm telling somebody I want to go to a churrería. That's the only Spanish word I can pronounce all that. And then they took me to a churro selling store. But next door there's a big church. And of course there's like five folding tables and people selling rosaries and selling Jesus. And we were in Jerusalem last month. And it's a huge business around the place where Jesus was crucified. We went to see that place and to honor the place. And then around it, there was thousands of guys selling. My rosary is cheaper than his rosary, you know, like that. Anyway, and holy land from the holy dirt in the rosary. And then you're wondering, I wonder where he got it from. But anyway, so that's at Tsongkhapa Duche. Chitare. Tongche. You see Tongche? You got it, Ningbo? What's Tonglang? Path of seeing. So Tong means to see. Che means what? Dharma. But Che also means existing thing. Tongche is an idiom in Tibetan that means you see this going on everywhere. It's a perceivable thing, meaning you see this everywhere. Tongche means you see this every day. People making money off of images. Selling, people making a business out of images. Tongche tare, dindar shintu zemge, you must avoid that kind of thing, okay? And again, people like us, we start out making a Dharma press, we have a good intention, we lose money usually, or we just squeak by, but then after 10 years, your mind changes, something happens in your mind, and you're like, God damn, we're not making enough money off this book, or, you know. So you have to be careful in time. The motivation is fragile, okay? You have to keep the motivation. It's okay to make money. It's okay to make a living off of it because you're spreading the Dharma. But be very careful, okay? All right. Zemga. Gebe kap topche min jikpa shi mardepa chopge sok. If you want to do a more, what do you call it? Detailed visualization of what you're getting from the Buddha, right? Like now we're into the section of what you get. The nectar has finished cleaning, and now the nectar is filling you up. Okay, so what's going to be, what are you getting from the Buddha? Right? From the Lama, you're getting how they act, how they speak, and how they think. What are you getting from the Buddha? Then from the Buddha, you are getting the 10 powers, the four kinds of fearlessness, and what are called the 18 unique qualities. Okay, so I'll say it again. 10 powers, four kinds of fearlessness, and then 18 unique qualities. He doesn't name them. I would like to do it, okay, in the next class. So we'll stop there, but I'm going to go on a huge detour. And I'm going to take you through the qualities of an enlightened being, okay? So he just mentions the names of them, but he doesn't tell you what they are. So I went and pulled them out for you, okay? So in particular, I enjoy the four forms of fearlessness. Like Buddha's not afraid to say, Like Buddha's like, They're all with regard to what the Buddha's not afraid to say in public. Which somehow appeals to me. So I like those qualities. So I thought we would go through them and talk about them. Okay? And we'll do that. We'll do that in the next class. Okay. So have a good yoga class. Sangye Shintu Mikte Uwagi Gyokun Namda Shinna Chupashu Yidam Kudurabha
Sakshi Suram Yashere.